And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning, March 28th, 2026. I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning, Will.
Good morning, fellas.
Yeah, thanks for being here, guys. Let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we ask, Father, for your blessing upon this broadcast that we do this morning. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us, and help us to articulate our thoughts clearly. Lord, we pray that that you give us an extra dose of the Holy Spirit this morning and lead us in the direction that we are to go. We pray that you be with this program and wherever it may go, and that it may be a blessing to the saints and a blow to the snakes. Lord, we ask that you be with our church and this ministry that we have here, that just ask, Father, for your hands to be upon it. Pray that you use it in a mighty and a powerful way, Father, and that we just continue to get these time capsules of truth out to your people, Lord, and that you just continue to use these archived messages that we're sending out and broadcasting. Lord, we pray that you be with them and just take them where you see fit. Lord, we just ask, Father, for your assistance and your guidance and your direction and all that we do. Bless our hands and the labors that we do. Lord, we thank you, Father, for it. We thank you for all the blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for the truths that you've given us. Lord, you've given us truths, and Lord, we pray that we can share those truths. And Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us, our households, our cities, our towns, our counties, and over this land, Father, from sea to shining sea. Lord, we just plead that blood of Jesus Christ and ask, Father, for you to protect us from the hands of the enemy, that you continue to stimulate your people and wake them up to who they are. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Well, guys, where are we going to start off this morning?
Well, go ahead. So, up in Canada, if y'all remember back several months ago, there was this this guy named Mark Miller, who is one of their, what they call ministers up there, member of parliament, and he introduced this bill. It's called C9, and what this bill was is it criminalized portions of the Bible as hate speech. Specifically, if you go back and look at what he was talking about, the nickname for this this bill was combating Hate Act, Bill C9, and this is a quote from this Miller guy. He says in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Romans, and there's other passages too, there's clear hatred toward, for example, homosexuals. And I don't understand how the concept of good faith can be invoked if someone were literally invoking a passage from, in this case, the Bible. Well, guys, this passed with a vote on yesterday, March 27th. And it is now the law of the land up there in Canada. But this is they're censoring the Bible. I don't know of another way of saying it. That there is a list, I don't have it here in front of me, of they've gone through the Bible and said from the pulpit, preachers can't preach certain text, you can't write certain text, you can't quote certain Bible verses, and it's the law of the land there now. It's hate speech. and that's just north of our border. And this is an ongoing. If anyone really paid attention to Canada, which I'm not sure a lot of people do outside of Canada, but if you paid attention to what's going on in Canada in the last 15 years or so, man, they have been hit hard culturally. I mean, we've covered the immigration problems up there, but they have euthanization now, state-sponsored killing.
Yeah, and they said it's going to reach over 100,000 by the end of this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, before anybody out there starts thinking that this is the euthanization of a terminally ill, medical patient with no hope of recovery or anything like that, a hospice type situation. It's not that. There are documented incidences of poor people. I mean, really, poor people that are on the government dole, getting government checks, government medication, and that sort of thing, that go in and just say, "I'm depressed," and that sort of thing. And by law, this is an option that is offered to them. You've heard this too, right, Tim?
Yeah, and in some instances, that might even be soft pedaling a little bit. It's more like a prescription. This is what we're going to do to fix this problem. We're going to euthanize you. I read some stories about people saying, "Hey, I changed my mind." Oh no, you're already, on the table, and it's not necessarily a free will thing, and it'll probably become less of one. It's basically like adult abortion. That's what it is. I was thinking about it the other day. They seek to take your choice. It's a sacrifice.
Absolutely.
I agree.
And that's what I was about to say, Tim, is if you look at this, especially on the euthanization side of things, they have so many on the government dole. This is a way to dwindle down those numbers. And the other side of it is it's sacrifice, whether it's babies to Moloch or human adults to Baal, whatever it is. I mean, they're just serving their masters. But if you go back and look, I mean, Trudeau, the former prime minister there, he changed around parliamentary rules that if you were a member of the Liberal caucus and that sort of thing, you could no longer vote your conscience. So you had some folks that maybe belonged to a liberal party up there or whatever, and they were still anti-abortion. And what Trudeau did was monkey with the rules and say, nope, that's not how this is going to work. If you're a part of this party, you have no choice. You have to vote for abortion. If you don't vote for abortion, we're kicking you out. And just little things like that have moved the ball down the field of, I don't even know what to describe Canada as now. They're socialist, but they're beyond that now. I mean, they're murdering their own citizens. They're murdering them before birth, at birth, and later in life. They're ushering in and welcoming just hundreds of thousands of strangers into their country. That was one of the things I thought of too with this euthanization stuff. Are they knocking them off the rolls to make room for government money for all of these brown people? I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. But this vote that they just had censoring the Bible, it passed, in my opinion, not with a very close margin. It was 186 to 137. So about 50 more of their ministers in their parliament voted to ratify this. So what it does is it sets up a government commission, and they will establish a list. Think of it as gun banning. We've seen these countries, including Canada, that have said, these six guns are permissible, but these 600 guns are not. that's what they're going to do with Scripture. They're going to go through and say, you can preach from these approved texts, you can write from these approved texts, but you can't from these. If you do, you're guilty of hate speech.
Wow. So we can have a Canada approved King James New Testament watered down.
Absolutely. You know, and King Trudeau. More importantly, Jason, if you stop and think about it, does this now? And I'm just thinking about the ministry, Scriptures for America. Are we going to be allowed in Canada now? Is that the next step?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, stop and think about just the different ministries across the world that do preach, you know, biblical truth. Are they just going to get blacklisted now and intercepted in the mail in Canada? I don't really think that's far-fetched at all. I think that's very probable.
Well, I think you could go all the way back to, I mean, it's been happening to some degree for some time. I mean, we've had various authors and speakers that have been arrested over the years up there just for their views expressed in other countries, and they stepped into Canada and were arrested. I know that one story that I heard just recently was, and I may not have all the details perfect, but I'll try. A minister was preaching in a nursing home, and he had responded to the fact that the Bible was the Word of God, and a bunch of the other, what do you want to call it, mainstream churches had come out and said, well, you know, some of these people are basically Canadian and everything, and we need to apologize to them for saying that, because that's not, I'm not going to speak there anymore if that's the case. And that was here. So it's putting this leverage into other things. And, really up there, I kind of look at that as it's, we call them socialists, but they're more like Marxists and becoming more like that every day. You know, we can kill whoever we want. We can sanitize speech in any way. And if you don't like it, we'll gulag you, or we'll adult abort you, or, you know, whatever.
It is very reminiscent of the Chinese communist government, the outlawing of churches, the outlawing of Christianity, the killing of babies, the killing of adults, all of that stuff. It's very reminiscent. So, yeah, Marxist is a good thing to say, I think, Tim. That's certainly what it looks like.
Yeah.
I didn't know until I was researching this a little bit that about 5 years ago now, 4 or 5 years ago in 2021, the Canadian government, they, with conservative report or support, passed something that it was a conversion therapy ban. And I read into this. So if you up there in Toronto or wherever, you get a kid that's been indoctrinated in the public school system and he thinks he's a trainee or he thinks he's a queer or whatever, and you got some parents that say, you know, we're going to go talk to our minister about this, and the pastor or the minister sits down and counsels with the parents and the kid, he's committed a crime.
Yeah, wow.
And so if he sits down with the parents, the kid, and explains the biblical truth of homosexuality and God's plan for men and women and creation, that's a crime in Canada now, has been for about 5 years.
Well, that's what happens when you start off by removing the law of God from the churches. And, you know, up in Canada, they've had, over the last 5 years, 120 churches, I think they said, been vandalized and burned to the ground. But you get rid of the Word of God, what do you expect is going to happen? It's going to become the law of the land. And they got it. They've, you know, cut it out of the churches already. And now they're making it law. I know this isn't, I don't want to take away from Canada, but, you know, talking about this, euthanization of these people. I looked up the term, and it says it is defined as the hastening of death of a patient to prevent further suffering. I mean, it's suicide is what it is. It's taking a life that doesn't belong to you, number one. And I hate the way that they make it sound like a sympathetic way of dealing with depression. I mean, it's just it is taking a life that doesn't belong to you, plain and simple. I didn't realize until just a couple of days ago how bad it was across the world. I had somebody that was that went into the hospital. They were getting a procedure done, and talking with their doctor, and an older gentleman, but not it was nothing serious. And the doctor came by and talked to him and wanted to know if he had considered suicide. And he's like, what?
Wow.
And it just kind of blew him away. And he's like, no. And he's like, well, you know, he's like, we have that as an option now. And it was just, it blew him away. He couldn't believe it. And, you know, I went to the internet and was looked up some stuff, and, you know, read this story of about a, and I guess it was big over down in Mexico, and it was but it was this Romero's girl, and I guess she was a girl down in somewhere down in Mexico, and she had been gang raped and was paralyzed and in a wheelchair, and she was battling depression, and she wanted to do this, and ended up doing it. And her father he wanted to stop her, and they spent a couple of years in litigation, going before the courts. He was trying to get her stopped from being able to do this. And at the end of it, she won. Courts gave her permission to do it, and so they had a party, and everybody met at the hospital, and then she goes in and commits suicide, has, you know, three injections into her. And it is happening, like we said, like over, they said by the end of the year, over 100,000 people will do that in Canada. To me, that's just sick and wrong.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing that's interesting is a sanctioned euthanization. And I'm not condoning suicide, so don't take that way. But just the point in fact is it's okay for you to go down and let the doctors exterminate you or the euthanasia centers. But if you decide to harm yourself and commit suicide, then that's a crime. You know, so that's another, what do you want to say it? Schism there that's just like, well, that's weird. What's that all about? You know.
So what happens if you go down and find these rapists and, you know, just practice medicine without a license on them?
Get out of my head, Jason, because that's what I was just thinking. That if you look at you look at places like Canada, that you know they. I'm not even sure if Canada has death penalty, on the books anymore. They certainly don't use it. But, you know, it's a nation with no death penalty for criminals, for the lawlessness. But for the innocent, they have state-sponsored murder. And if that is not a in-your-face example of good being called evil and evil being called good. And Jason, you really made the point earlier, you know, when you remove God's law from the institutions of man, you know, here we are at the 250th, you know, anniversary of the forming of this country, and our country was formed by God's laws, right? That was the foundation that this country was based on. Well, when you remove that foundation of God's law, that bedrock, it's not going to stand. The structure will not stand. And I think that's what we see happening just north of us in Canada, is the law, the supreme law of the world, God's law, that natural law that has stood before the beginning of time. Once man starts taking that away and replacing it with this false law, this counterfeit law. We start seeing good be called evil and evil be called good. So a murderer, a rapist, a child molester, he's not put to death in Canada. But a military vet that's living on a government dole that's depressed, he is. And that's really the story there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and I think one of you guys hit on it. I'm not sure who said it, but it's like, I think it's like they do this, and I think that they get a glee out of it, it's like honoring their, it's like a human sacrifice to them, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, 100%.
I really think that they have gotten into the dark side, and I generally don't care for a lot of doctors, but there is, I know some really good ones as well. So I'm not saying that all doctors are bad, but I know some doctors that if you talk to them about this, they'd tell you you're nuts and they wouldn't want to have anything to do with it. I mean, what's next is, are they going to make it mandatory for doctors to perform these, or, you know, you can have specialists or what? I have no idea how it works, but man, it's just it's a bad deal.
Well, and it's terrible. And it also, the fact that they do want primarily the innocent or the helpless or those unable to protect that vulnerable, let's put it that way. That's a good word for it. To euthanize takes you right back to sacrificing. You know, so often, archaeologically and historically speaking, they talk about these, especially just came to mind, the South American societies that were like, well, they had this huge group, and we really don't know what happened to them. They just disappeared. But if you look at those, they fell into this, you know, human sacrifice, cannibalistic, demonic fueled cult that, and really, it's not so different here. We're seeing the same thing. They're attempting to promote this same thing all across large and great societies right now. I mean, it's not a new thing. They want to honor their gods while they thumb their nose at the real God, they're more than happy to, make you unalive to do it. So it's kind of a biblical prophecy being fulfilled, right? I mean, that's going to try. That goes on. So.
Well, and jumping back down, I want to just real quick on this, this girl that was down in South America or Mexico. You know, you had a government that was protecting the rapists and allowed her to commit suicide. I mean, it's like they talk about God's law already being done away with. I mean, if they would have followed Deuteronomy 22:25 and done what biblical law prescribed, things would have been a whole lot different.
Yeah. And I got one more little thing to say on the euthanization side of this is, to me, this is just, I think the enemy, really from the garden has been trying to convince, to tempt human beings that we can be like God too, because people want the power. They want the power. They want the knowledge. They want to be like God. And of course, we know better than that. But I'm reminded of Job, where it's said that life is God's to give and it's His to take away. And I think when you have these government powers, that they start making the decisions. They have the power to decide who lives and dies and that sort of thing. It's just another example of them being like God. that it's counterfeit. They're just trying to be like God. That, you know, we're warned. I think it's Job 121 that life is God's to give and God's to take away. And they're making a mockery of that because they're just trying to be like God. And that's what they've done from the beginning.
Very good point. Yes.
Yeah. It is. Very good point. Yeah. Then we will be like God. It started in the garden.
That's right.
You know, yeah.
Right from the beginning. Yeah. And it's the same. It's we often joke that there is, there's a playbook, and there are days that I'm not convinced there's only like one sentence in the playbook it's just the same. It's the same play over and over again. They just dress it up different. But at the end of the day, our enemy hates God. And, they gave up that fellowship and that birthright. So now they're just trying. Everything is here, on this earth. And they are just trying to convince as many of us to be like them and to only live for the here and the now, and not to be kingdom minded. And it sure feels to me, I don't know about you guys, and I don't really want to be doom and gloom all the time, but I read in the Old Testament, and while I read through scripture, and I'm just reminded it sure feels like the days of Noah.
Yeah.
That if you look at the wickedness and perversion and I wonder if Noah scratched his head while he was, planing on some boards that, things are just too wicked to stand. And I don't know how much, and Tim, you were talking about, the mass sacrifices of, these once, what we're told, these once great, nations down there in Mexico and Central America and all that kind of stuff. Well, they don't exist anymore. And they don't exist anymore because, because of the practice. They thumb their nose at God. That's right. And I look at places like Canada and these, and it's not just Canada. We're picking on Canada a little bit. I brought it up. I'm picking on Canada. But, you look at places like Sweden and a lot of the Nordic countries, places that we would call that our families came from when they came here and that sort of thing. Well, they're doing this too. I mean, they're doing these assisted suicide, euthanization, as well. And, I think it's probably worldwide, but I bet if we stopped and really dug into it, the places that you would, the nations, the people that are embracing this more than any other people, I'll put it to you this way. I'm not real sure that in Somalia they have state-sponsored euthanization, but they have it in Sweden, and they have it in Norway, and they have it in Canada, and they have it in places where people like us reside. And I'm not so sure that this is not just the plan of the enemy.
Trying to take out Jacob Israel.
You're doggone right, Jason, that we are so despondent because we have been torn so far away from God and God's law, and that's the source of depression amongst our people, is we are created genetically. We have that law written on our heart to have that fellowship with God, and they have done everything they can, hook and crook, from the beginning to make sure that we are separated, and you have these people that are in their 30s and their 40s and their 50s, and they are so unfulfilled because they don't know the truth of Christ that they would rather just die. And I'm not so sure that this wasn't planned.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a gradual degradation of people, and you can't give up. That's the thing, that the renewal that Christ brings. It's a renewing of the mind and the spirit, and that's why we need that renewal, because you can get drugged down. You can get kind of depressed about it, but, be ye renewed. I mean, we go to him, he gives us an uplift and a recharge, charge your batteries up and turn your radio on. And I'm talking about the one in your mind, soul, and heart, you know, and
that's right.
Charge back up. So, because there is an attack going on all the time, and you know, God told us about that attack when He said that we wrestle not against, you know, flesh and blood in Ephesians 6:12, but you know, against principalities and powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So when we see those things there, actually we should be, you know, a lack of fear on our part is a loss on their part. It says that that's when their destruction comes. So it should be heartening to, when we see these things coming and we're strong in our faith and we don't fear their destruction's imminent. It's got to be getting pretty close, because when you look at all these things as a sum, the attacks on Christianity, the Epstein files, the wickedness that's in these high places, and we go on in the name of Jesus Christ, they're getting pretty close to the end of their run, and they know it. You know, I mean, they... So we wonder why this is all accelerated. They're on a short leash, and so they're running out of rope.
And I think they do know it.
Yeah,
I
am.
Gotta get rid of them.
I'll tell you guys, we were talking about Canada and their war on Christianity, or at least they want to make their own version of Christianity. And I came across this, and I don't know if you guys got a chance to take a look at it, or if y'all saw. Have you, I mean, I'll go to the Mideast. There's lots going on there that we can talk about, but did you guys get a chance to look at, or did y'all hear about, Israel instituting these new policies in Gaza regarding Christian teachers?
I did.
Yeah. On the Christian school. Yeah.
Yeah. On the Christian schools and the Christian teachers. Yeah. That's, kind of a backdoor way of just preventing Christianity is the way I read it. Of generally speaking, and we don't know, but just because it's not the world that we live in, there's actually a pretty sizable number of ethnic Christians in Gaza, in Palestine, and there has been forever. There are Eastern Orthodox Christians and some different Protestant religions there, and depending on what sources you read, there's 50,000 to 150,000 professing Christians there, probably less now than there were a couple years ago because of everything that's happened in Gaza. But
probably less than there was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, there's just less Palestinians. I mean, that's just the way it is. But pretty much there's 15... basically, it is preventing Palestinians from being Christian teachers.
Right.
That's the way I read it. I don't know about you guys, but and you have to. This is these Christian schools can only hire teachers who hold Israeli issued qualifications. Now, I read that and thought that. I don't even know what to say to that. So the government of Israel is now deciding what makes a Christian teacher. That probably isn't going to turn out well.
No,
considering they want nothing to do with the name of Christ or anything
like
that. So, yeah. And I also found the one article I looked at, which they were talking about the fact that, you know, basically, they can document the presence of Christians in Jerusalem for over 2 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's a day or two. I mean, as a matter of fact,
to the time of Christ.
That far predates the Israeli framework that's now set up there. So, we know how they treat Christians. We've talked about it over there. They spit on them. They beat on them. They're only allowed in the, what do we want to call it, tourist zone, where they're protected for the sake of their subscriptions or their money or the fees. Yeah, it's it's pretty, well, it's just sick when people stand, especially some of these ministers stand in the pulpit and carry on about how they're, that these Israelis over there are God's chosen people while they do everything possible to denigrate the name of Christ or destroy any good that he brought into the world or any, you know, effect of what he accomplished. And, yeah, that's true freedom, true, that's satire, by the way. But, you know, that's what we're looking at here. So, I mean, it's a total undoing of the Christian education in that place. So.
And Tim, I think you really hit on it too, is what you're really doing there is you're killing off that 2,000 year tradition of biblical Christianity being taught in that region. And that's really the story to me, is, you know, linking this to Canada, it's kind of the same thing, right? Like you have the government stepping in and dictating what type of Christianity can be taught. And if you look at these Palestinians, the Christian church in that region, it has been in existence since Christ walked the earth. I mean, it's been there for a long, long time. And you have these Jews that did everything they could in the time of Christ to prevent his message and his word from spreading through the land and spreading amongst the people, and they're doing the same thing now. And it looks like they're going to win now, at least in that region they are, that they're going to be able to stamp out the word of Christ. And that's really the story, to me, is it's the same old game. They're using their Talmudic rules, their Talmudic laws, to shape the narrative that they get to decide what is taught from the pulpits. And I don't think it's going to be very much at all. I think that's what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, and historically, I mean, we have 2 millennia of history there showing how they've tried to stomp it out. It's a distillation process. Refining yep. process for Christians, because they can't stomp it out. They can force it underground. They can strengthen the resolve to the truest. It becomes not a social club, but a true matter of heart and belief and spirit. You know, it's an epic battle of good and evil. And I'm not trying to, you know, make it, you know, look like some kind of movie, but that's one of those things that true Christians, real Christians that have been through this distillation process, we understand the power of those things, that the opportunity to serve is not lost on them. So, you know, I mean, you can go back and look at the apostles. You can go back into the Old Testament and look at the examples that were given of those people. I mean, there were kings and huge countries that were against Christ, and he said, you know, just we use that example often, just like Elijah, get up on your knees. I've got a whole bunch of you that haven't bowed their knee yet, you know. So sadness on the part of these people trying to exercise demonic will over God's kingdom.
Yes. We got a caller on the phone. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Warren. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I was calling in. You might have known this guy personally. Do you remember Alan Campbell from Ireland?
Yep, I do.
He was up in Canada. Do you know if he's still alive? You know, he's arrested up there for preaching Jesus Christ.
I do not. I haven't heard. I tried finding out some stuff about him a couple years ago, and I couldn't find anything out, and I asked around, and I'm glad you brought that up, though, because I'm going to check again.
Okay, yeah, because I wonder what's going on over in Ireland where he came from. You know, he was part of America's Promised Ministry right after Phil Nimry passed away.
Yep.
No, I'm doing fine. The surgery went fine, and
Oh, good.
And there was an interesting article too in the American Legion. This what the you know about America? Not about our 250th anniversary coming back, but we all heard about the Boston Tea Party. You know, well, you know what that was actually about. We've done the same thing for years here. We take our goods, send them overseas, have them, you know, do made overseas or whatever, and then send them back here, and we got to pay the export tax, the import tax on them, because we got an airport in our house that's advertised on TV, and it's supposed to be made in America, and it's done over in China, and all these Milwaukee tools they got all over the country, the same thing. You know, so America hasn't really changed. I'll let you guys go on, but yeah, I just had to pray for Alan Campbell if he is still alive, that the Lord look after him. And
yeah, it looks like he died in 2017.
Back in Ireland.
Yep.
Okay, well, thank you, Jesus. At least you're the Christian. Well, God bless you guys.
All right, thanks for calling, Warren.
Bye.
Thanks, Warren.
Where were we at?
Oh, we were just, we were talking about everything that was going on there with, basically, Jason, you know, I was just sitting here thinking about this too. We were talking about, the Talmudists and their influence in Canada and now in, Palestine, as far as the churches and the teaching of Christianity goes, you know, and they're doing that by law. Right? I mean, they're passing these rules, they're passing these laws. When you really stop and think about it, the same crap's happening in the American church. We just haven't gotten to the point of passing laws yet. We just see the majority of these pastors, you know, being bought off, right? I mean, that's really what it is it's television time, and it's book deals, and it's mega churches, and that sort of thing. If you stop and think about it, that's just another tool that the enemy uses. It's power and influence and money. And, you know, when that wears off and people wise up, then they just pass the laws. And then they make it unlawful or illegal or whatever. It's by hook or crook. You know, they're gonna get you one way or the other. That's their MO.
It is. And, yeah, I mean, and you think about it, too, if, you know, over here, they don't have to have laws against it because most of the churches just are neutered Christians anyway, and they don't want to hear that part of the Bible. And, they don't want to have nothing to do with it.
That's exactly right. We don't need to make it unlawful. We don't need Parliament to make it unlawful. We decided to make it unlawful ourselves, and our own disobedience. Jason, before we move on to the next news story, I want to share this. It actually was sent to me in a text, and it's a piece of scripture out of Psalm 37. And we're sitting here and we're talking about these evildoers. We're talking about the euthanization and just all of the stuff that's going on here, and I want to read this, and it's got a little bit of a subtitle on it that says security of those who trust in the Lord and the insecurity of the wicked, and it's Psalm 37 1-11. It says, "Do not get upset because of evildoers. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will quickly like grass and decay like the green plants. Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring out your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not get upset because of one who is successful in his way, because of the person who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and abandon wrath. Do not get upset. It leads only to evil doing, for evildoers will be eliminated. But those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked person will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity."
Amen. That's one of my favorite scriptures right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I, you know, sometimes I've caught myself dealing in a situation, and it's like I've been fretting over an evildoer, and it makes it very clear, don't do it. About the time that I realize what I'm doing, it stops. It's like and sometimes I just got to tell myself, I am not going to fret over an evildoer. I'm not going to do it. And just you get yourself, you're thinking about something and you're losing sleep. And it's like it's just like they've got a knife jabbed in your back and they're twisting it. And you know, just that reading that scripture is one that just has got me through a lot over the years. And the other day it was one I told my wife, I said, we are not going to fret over an evildoer, somebody that was trying to cause us problems, somebody that was attacking us, somebody that was lying about us. And it was a woman can take that a lot harder than a man can sometimes. And I told her, I quoted part of that scripture and said, we're just going to stop and we're going to trust the Lord. And it was, you know, she said, okay. And it was like a cloud was lifted off from over us. And praise the Lord. It was, I think it's one of those things. It's like holding up that shield of faith. It's you take that. It's something that's got to be taken in faith, and it's got to be taken in to a spiritual realm. And but it's true. It's 100% true. It is the word of God, and it's that is the mind of our Christ.
Amen.
No, I Amen. Really appreciate it. I'm glad you shared that. That was perfect. And I know we're talking about a lot of the things that are going on in the world, a lot of things that we don't like, a lot of things that we hate, and this and that. And it we don't want to, you know, just be, you know, sharing that, you know, promoting fear propaganda or, you know, making people worried. We want to, we really strive to educate people on what is going on and have the news behind the news so that, we got something to pray about. I mean, when we talk about these things, to me, it's like, can add that to the prayer list, add that to the prayer list. And, you know, when we're praying, you know, or thinking about these things that are going on in the world. And, I don't want to just, be out there talking about the negative things, because I think there is a lot of positive things that are going on in the world right now. But it's just, it is a separation of the right and the left, the goats and the sheep, the tares and the wheat. I really believe that's what is taking place, and that's what we're seeing.
Amen. Amen. You know, Jason, too, just to add on top of that, too, I think you take negatives and make positives out of them. And I know I'm speaking for myself here is I like to know what's coming.
Right.
It helps me be prepared spiritually and mentally and then physically as well. Right. And I remind people all the time, it's the punch that you don't see coming that knocks you out. If you see the punch coming, you know, you have a time to brace for the impact, so to speak. And that's what I really think a lot of times we're doing is it's not doom and gloom that I want you to get in the fetal position and cry in the corner. You know, I want you to stand up, straighten your spine and, go to the Lord and be prepared. Be prepared for what's coming. That's what he wants for his people. That's what he wants for Jacob Israel, is to endure to the end. And that's what we have to do.
Yes, I agree.
Yep. For sure.
Where you want to go next? We got a few more minutes before the top of the hour.
Go ahead, Jason.
Well, I just said the next one down here, I seen that the IRGC hits over 70 Israeli targets with precision missiles in 81st wave of retaliation.
Yeah, they're not stopping. For all of this talk of peace negotiations or whatever. I'm not sure Iran's been given that memo. They have been relentless. Depending on what news source you read, I think this last batch of what you're talking about there with these precision missiles, it's all propaganda from both sides, but Iran's saying 2,500 dead is what they're estimating in just this last sortie of missiles they sent into Israel. And it's nothing new for us. We've said this, but I'm still not seeing any video from Israel. It's not on the news cycle, you know, and you have Iran that's saying they're decimating Haifa, the port of Haifa, and Tel Aviv with these missiles. Well, have y'all seen anything to the contrary?
No.
I mean, I haven't either. I don't know. I know that Iran, you know, they're releasing statements saying, take a look at Tel Aviv, take a look at Haifa, take a look at the American gas plants, and we'll tell you who's winning the war. I mean, that's a real statement.
And they're not wrong.
No, and I'm not cheering Iran. I'm not. I'm not
either.
That's not. I don't want people to take. But I mean, that really was, that's a pretty close quote that came out of the government of Iran is, you know, take a look at these cities and
realistic observation. Yeah. I think that there's, you know, Trump just came out. One of the things he said was that they were going to do a 10-day ceasefire on Iran. Well, the Israelis broke that 4 hours. You know, that was a, that was a little blink there, but it's like, what pictures we do see from Tel Aviv and everything else, it looks like Gaza. And you've got to, as far as observation goes, you got to wonder what's going on. You know, it's like, well, I don't personally, but I think that this is a bad thing. So.
No, and it's not like when you're fighting and when you're in a war, it's not like you can just have a timeout. Okay, oh, here, timeout. It's not like playing football. Yeah. It's because when you're winning, you go in and you pound and you pulverize and you inflict as much damage as you possibly can on the opposing force. You want to stop them. You want to destroy them. You want to kill them. That is what war is. And it's not, okay, oh, timeout. We're gonna have a timeout here decide what we want to do and huddle up and talk about things. No, that's not the way it works. And they put on some kind of production. Like they expect, they're acting like they're the ones that are in control, and they're not. And I'm not. I don't like these the Muslims anymore. And I don't want anybody to think that, you know, it's like between, you know, the Muslims and the Jews. It's like I'm rooting for both sides and hope they both win.
Amen.
Yeah, really. Well, and I was thinking about it the other day, as far as, you know, in the battle, in a war like that, then they say, hey, do you want to tap out? And it's like, no. No, so keep on rolling. You know, it's kind of like somebody's got to give up and say, hey, we're done or whatever. And to me, when you ask somebody if they want to tap out, it sounds like you're about ready to tap out, doesn't it? You know,
right.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, how about we just, you know, have you had enough yet? Because we're closed. But, you know, no, let's keep rolling.
And that really is what happened. I mean,
yes,
last week,
right.
It was Iran, are y'all ready to come to the table? And Iran said, no, we're good. Yeah. You know, we're enjoying sending missiles into Israel. Yeah, we're good. And reading this stuff, you know, I was joking, but it really wasn't a joke when they were talking about the fuel pumps and Tel Aviv and Haifa. In that same exchange with the spokesperson from Iran, he reminded the world, remember who started this.
Exactly.
You know, we didn't start it.
Yeah. We got a caller on the line. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Well, this is Tim's friend, Harvey, again.
Hey, Harvey.
That I called in Wednesday night to the prayer meeting to ask for prayers. But I had something that I thought was, it's backing up a few minutes ago to the Canada thing, but I thought it was very optimistic, and so wanted to share it with you. And that is back when they were shutting down all the churches up there during COVID and saying that it was because of health regulations. And there was a Reverend James Coates, like C-O-A-T-E-S, like the coat you wear, but with an E on it. And he refused to shut down, and he was staying at the church, and eventually he left and went home for something. And the Royal Canadian Mounties went in and built three fences around his church. And so it made me wonder, are they trying to fence people out or fence God in? What are, you know, what's their...
Yeah, good point. There? Very good point.
But he, so they throw Reverend Coates in jail. And he was in jail for 35 days. And he said, you know, I could have gotten mad. I could have gotten depressed. I could have gotten mad at the government. I could have gotten mad at God. But he said, instead, I thought about Genesis chapter 50, where Joseph said to his brothers, what you meant for evil, God used for good. And he said, you know,
amen.
I was in jail 35 days, and I saved more souls in that 35 days than I have in any other 35-day period of my entire life.
Praise the Lord.
So what the government meant for evil, God used for good. And he said, I bet Satan was laughing the day I got thrown in jail. But as I started stealing souls from Satan, one by one by one, I bet he wasn't laughing anymore.
Praise the Lord.
And he says, you know, after 35 days, I got out of jail, but the government was still of such an evil, punitive mindset. He said they moved all of the other prisoners so they couldn't see that I was being released. He said, but, you know, it doesn't work that way. He said, so that they knew I was being released, even though they had been moved so they couldn't see it, and they were all beating on the metal doors. And he said it was deafeningly loud in there. You couldn't hear anything but the inmates beating on those wooden or the metal doors because they were so happy that I was being released. He said, so that's what they get for trying to tell God to shut up. But this was this was what he said to the judge when he finally got to go in front of the judge. He said, I'm simply here in obedience to Jesus Christ, and it's my obedience to Jesus that has put me at odds with your law. He said, I am not a political revolutionary. You know, and I agree. Today we don't need political revolutionaries; we need spiritual ones.
Yes.
And you know, that several years ago up there is where they passed that law that said, you know, the Parliament voted the Bible's a myth, and so now if you stand behind the pulpit in Canada and say the Bible's the true word of God, in Eastern Canada you're likely to get thrown in jail. In Western Canada, not quite as much, but in Eastern Canada, you're liable to end up behind bars or plate glass, whatever they have, if you get in the pulpit and say, the Bible is still the true word of God. So that's...
Wow.
And when Tim was talking earlier about... I was the minister he was talking about that I was... When I preached that sermon, I was told to go back and apologize, or I was not welcome anymore. And then I was removed from the Association of Churches in our town. An awful lot of the ministers that voted to remove me from that are not here anymore. I still am. So just wanted to share those thoughts, but I just...
I'm glad you did.
It was so neat that he, you know, that he says, no, I'll think about Genesis 50. I'll think about Joseph. And then, you know, like he said, saved more souls in that 35-day period than any other. I also happen to know a minister that got put in federal prison on trumped-up charges, and then the prosecuting attorney that put him in prison committed suicide. And they had such a punitive mindset against him. He was in prison 9 years. They moved him to 90 different federal prisons because he would start making friends and stuff, and they didn't want that. And he said, it was the same attitude. And he says, now there are Bible studies he said, I'm so glad I went to prison for 9 years, because now there are Bible study groups set up in 90 prisons that had no Bible studies set up in them before, because I set up Bible studies that are thriving in all 90 prisons they sent me to. So now there's, look at that. Look at that ministry. So he was done wrong. The prosecutor commits suicide, but he sets up 90 Bible study groups in 90 different prisons. I think it's amazing.
It is.
You can't defeat God.
Well, and it's one of those things is that is God working outside of the church walls also. It's
absolutely.
It's out there, and like Will made the statement just a little bit ago of, you know, changing those curses into blessings. And
absolutely.
That's and that's what the true Christian does.
That's right.
Yeah. You can't fence
it's God. Amazing. Well, thanks for listening, guys.
Appreciate the
program.
Thanks, Harvey. Thanks for calling, Harvey. God bless.
Yeah, love y'all.
Well, we are at the top of the hour, a little bit over. We're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back after this song. Stay tuned, folks.
The song you are about to hear is true. Though some of the events described have not occurred in the life of the author, they have occurred in the lives of thousands of other revenue-oppressed Americans. The author disclaims any responsibility or liability for any loss incurred as a consequence of the use and the application of any of the following information, which is not provided for the purpose of rendering any legal advice or professional service. In other words, this song is totally frivolous and without merit.
Not. Last April, right around tax time, along with my 1040 form, I sent the IRS a message to tell them they was wrong. And I told them I was sick and tired of playing their cheating game. And as for all my honest, hard-earned wages, to them they never had no claim. Because I never worked in Puerto Rico, nor lived in Washington, D.C. I wasn't under their jurisdiction, and there was nothing they could do to me. Since I've never ever been an employee of the federal government, I ain't liable for, nor subject to, no, I've never owed you one red cent. But let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. Yes, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now it didn't take them very long before they garnished all my hard-earned pay. Then they repossessed my pickup truck and had it towed away. And then they up and seized my bank accounts as they auctioned off my family farm. And to keep me from proving my innocence, well, they shackled me in iron. Now let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. Yes, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now the truth about the IRS code is that it's fraudulently misapplied. Because the legal definition of taxpayer is exclusively derived. So all you agents of the evil IRS are in reality a bunch of thieves. who are working for the foreign bankers to bring America to her knees. So listen up, you international banksters, and all you traitorous congressmen, and all you low-down lying, thieving, cheating lawyers, better leave the country while you can. Cause when the people find out the truth about how the income tax is based on fraud, they're gonna rise up all across this nation. They're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. To use the famous words of Andy Jackson, we're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. And then it's gonna be dangerous, cause we're right and the government is wrong. We'll trample down their rights as we break inside their homes. We'll terrorize their sweet brides as we put the hard lean on. Yes, we're dangerous, cause we're right, and the government is wrong. Yes, we're dangerous, cause we're right, and the government is wrong.
With explicit reservation of all rights without prejudice per UCC 1-207.
And we're back, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And I pushed the right button. Well, yeah, we are on the air. Okay, good. Yeah, we're back. No, that was a good call. I appreciate Harvey calling in. I think that tied in with what we've been talking about. And praise the Lord. Tim, where do you want to go next?
I'm kind of interested. I don't want to jump ahead. So, I mean, I'm just going to kind of go down the line. But we're looking at a global food supply problem. And, you know, I think they're using our food as war, and kind of really ties into what we found out earlier. God ordained our food situation. I mean, he created Adam to be a tiller of the land and to dress the garden and to keep it. And, I don't know. I think, all of us here feel that burden of the fact that these, what do you want to call it, resources are being misused and abused. And so I think they're really trying to starve people out. And I think it's another one of those sacrifices and euthanasia elements in that they want to feed people trash. I mean, you know, we're just seeing that go on over there, but the one article we have is talking about a global food supply. So, I mean, we talk about it here in the United States a lot of times, but there's a lot of things going on with this petrol business that's causing fertilizer prices to climb. I just heard a report here the other day from one farmer, and he was called. He needed diesel for planting, and he's limited. This is in the United States. He's limited by his supplier. I don't know any other details other than that, to 100 gallons of diesel per week is all he can get. Right. So, yeah, like he said, that's a 12-hour runtime on one of my tractors, which has 100-gallon tank. So he said that's one day of work. And anybody who is ag related or understands any of that knows that when you're trying to get crops in the ground, one day is not really very much time.
Well, can't he just get one of those electric tractors?
I think they run, what, 6 hours on a charge, and it takes about 40 hours to charge them up. So I'm sure. And they're so cheap. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, and that's another element that plays into this farming element and productivity element. You know, they jumped into that, and I'm chuckling over that. They jumped into this electric car thing, and now all of a sudden everybody's scrambling to get back to something that actually works. So, but it all kind of goes back to, I think, our food supply, don't you? So,
well, I got a comment on electric vehicles and electricity. The majority of our electricity generated, at least here in the United States, comes from coal-fired power plants. And the coal arrives at the power plants by train, and those are diesel locomotives.
Yep.
So at the end of the day, diesel still affects our electricity and our electricity prices. So that was just the one thing I was going to say. So I found this out about fertilizer, and I just want to share it with you guys because I found this fascinating. So liquid natural gas has been the supply of liquid natural gas has really taken a hit because of everything that's going on in Iran and the surrounding Gulf states. And it's really the supply has been crippled, especially in places like Australia and near Asia and far Asia. So what? And this part I knew, but the majority, regionally speaking, the majority of nitrogen nitrate fertilizer is produced from liquid natural gas. And it's a process that's been around now for about 80 years. It's the synthetic fertilizers that's really used across the world. And depending on who you talk to, the population boom that we've seen in the last century really probably comes from the availability of the synthetic fertilizer and just the production of crops and the increased food supply and being able to sustain life and that sort of thing. So that's certainly been interrupted, but I found something out. And the perfecting of this process of turning liquid natural gas into fertilizer was actually made by the Germans during World War II, that the Germans came up with the price. It doesn't surprise me. I just didn't know it. So those dreaded Nazis, they actually perfected the processes that have created abundance throughout the world. But just I have found that interesting. Did y'all know that?
I did.
It was the Germans. The Germans in the 1940s, in the 1930s, they came up with the processes to make it very economical to turn liquid natural gas into essentially Miracle-Gro. I mean, that's really what they did. And so that was another gift from our people. I hate to say it that way, but it's the truth, from our people to the world. And so anyways, this is a little piece of fact there. But to get back to this global food supply thing, and really the fuel shortages too, I have been listening to a lot of worldwide reports on this week, and I'm going to tell y'all something, and it's weird, but the things that are being said about the fuel supplies and the food supplies sound a lot like COVID. They're using phrases like it's just a couple weeks to flatten the curve. Like that's been said as far as the fuel supplies and that sort of thing. And this rationing that's coming out, I really feel like this is kind of planned. I don't know. Have y'all given any thought to that? Of this being maybe a controlled operation?
Yeah, I have. And I think you're right. I believe that it's kind of like, you know how we were talking about that playbook a little bit earlier. And
yeah.
It's like, I just keep, I'm hearing the same thing. It's like they change, maybe instead of rationing diesel, that was, toilet paper or, masks or vaccines or whatever, but it's like I hear the same thing, the same talk, and it's disturbing. And at the same time, it's like I keep thinking that you hear this administration keep talking about, okay, this is going to be over in a week or 2 weeks, and we completely, if we're there for another 2 weeks, I think we'll be there for 5 years. That's what I think. I agree.
I want to share some with you guys, and I'm jumping a little ahead of, I'm jumping ahead, but I want to share something with y'all. So the thought occurred to me of like the wildfires, the prairie fires that Tim there in Nebraska and all around, and even into Oklahoma and Kansas now, that they've been experiencing. You know, that's no good for hay production and cattle production, which means there's going to be even a more increase in the price per pound for beef by the time it hits the supermarkets and that sort of thing. And we continually, I think we got a call coming in, Jason.
Yeah, we do. Let's go ahead and take this call real quick. Hello, caller.
Sure, you bet.
Hey, it's Barbie in Florida.
Hey, Barbie.
Hey.
Hey, Barbie.
So, hi. So, the fertilizer problem, now, I don't have a big property, but I have a good-sized garden, and I have chickens. So, I put down chicken feed in a pile and wait 2 weeks so it doesn't burn anything, and that's the best nitrogen fertilizer you can get. And there's numerous chicken houses. Yeah, there's numerous chicken houses out here. And a friend of mine's family has one that's organic. And guess who's buying up all his chicken poop when they get the chickens out? Mr. Bill Gates, who's bought about 50,000 acres up here of farmland and taken over numerous large farms. But they know what to do, but they're just not telling anybody else what to do. So I just thought I'd put that out there as a prepper tip, because we can make our own fertilizer if we have, you know, one or two. I have like 10 chickens, and they make a mess. But I just rake it up, put it in a pile, wait 2 weeks, and man, does my stuff grow good. So that's just a little food for thought.
Awesome.
And I thought I'd make you all aware, there was an egg farm, a giant one in North Iowa. That
yeah, burned down. Yeah, yep.
Yep. So, save your eggs. All right, guys, that's it.
Thanks
that's
a bunch. I appreciate it.
Sure, bye.
Thank you, Barbie.
I was actually going to go ahead. Will, you finish yours.
No, you go ahead, Tim. No, please do. We're going to be all talking about the same thing, so it's good.
And I was going to go there. We were just talking about God working evil intentions for good. And what this is doing is we got along without that stuff before once and did well. We were still a world leader in food production before all this artificial means of urea and ammonia and synthetic fertilizers came out, and I was laughing because, you know, they're getting ready to plant corn and soybeans and stuff here. And just last week, one of the neighbors, who's really a huge farm, I mean, this place is massive, but he went over there and pulled all his, he's got huge fertilizers or manure spreaders. He pulled those out of the lineup. They went through them, and they're out here spreading manure on the field like it's going out of style. You know, it's cow manure, but nevertheless, it's been sitting in piles, curing for several years because they just, you know, didn't want to do anything with it. But it's great, and they're out here going, you know, full tilt boogie on putting it down. So, yeah, there's people who understand it, and God can work it for good. It's like, well, okay, you don't have to spend that money that's being spent on those things. It is a convenience item that is manipulated and managed by those financial monsters that run everything else. You know, you get into this borrowing and lending cycle where you go down and do that for the sake of convenience, and now suddenly we're having to go back to, well, it's going to take a little more work, but it is possible to get yield and maybe not long-term damaged soils either. So I just thought that was kind of uplifting. I mean,
well,
one of my bullet points.
Yeah, and I wanted to take a step back, and when Will was talking about the fertilizer being developed from natural gas in World War II by the Germans, I remember seeing, I saw some not too long ago, and it was called a Croft King 88, and I just wondered if there's more significance to that than meets the eye.
Well, we're the largest natural gas producer in the world. I mean, you know, as far as I understand, I mean, it's so bad. We have oil fields out here and everything else, and we have, it's so abundant here that they literally burn it off because they don't want to, you know, it's like, get rid of it, you know. I mean, those things are going on over there around Yuma, Colorado and stuff. If you're out there on those fields, they actually plummet to people's houses so they can heat their house with it, stuff like that. I mean, isn't that interesting? For free. It's just a way to get along with your neighbors, you know, like, how about some free heat, you know. This goes on all over. Nobody really knows about it. If you have to be an urban or city person, you probably don't know it's there. But these things, it's not, you know, when you let your news dictate your behavior or your, you know, relaying strange news, you're, oh my gosh, you get the Chicken Little complex. And it's like, I just got one for barbecue, you know. Like the old Hank Williams Jr. song, Country Boy Will Survive. It's like, now we can, you know, God's made ways that we can get this. So, yeah. Anyway, my two cents.
I agree. And I think that it's, you know, it'll be interesting. I didn't know about the rationing of the fuel. I mean, that's horrible. That's something that it's, where was that at?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It was what I call the, you know, Midwest corridor here somewhere, but
okay.
He was,
yeah.
And I just seen it on the way by. So I don't really have any verification on it, but this guy was somewhat distraught about it. You know, it was like,
I got some info on that.
Okay.
It's happening around the world, not just here. Australia is in a full blown ration. Along with some other countries, Myanmar, Sri Lanka, some of those Asian countries, but we're starting to see it a little bit here. Just for some added color, diesel is about $5.19 a gallon where I'm at right now, and you know, and I'm in Texas. We make a lot of gas and a lot of diesel and have a lot of refineries here, but that's what we're hovering at. I want to throw this out. Jason, I'm going to tie this to the Flock camera systems.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. So, caught wind, started looking at some of this that, I do think we're going to see nationwide fuel rationing. And I'll tell you why. There is some information coming out that, what it would probably look like is an odd-even system. And for those folks that were around back in the Carter administration, you'll probably remember that. This is what's happening in other countries right now where they're using the same system. And this is why I was starting to tie it into COVID. It's starting to get that feel that there's going to be some administrative rules coming down as, you know, far as social distancing and stuff like that. I think we may start seeing the same thing when it comes to fuel. And back in the Carter administrations, when we saw it here in the United States, oddly enough, there was a conflicts going on in the Middle East with some of the OPEC nations and that sort of thing. And we started fuel rationing. So your license plates, the first number in your license plate, if it was an even number, you were allowed to buy fuel on these days. And if it was an odd number, you were allowed to buy fuel on these days. It got to the part, and Tim, maybe you can speak to this more than me. I'm sure you remember it firsthand, but I think in some parts of the country, California, maybe in the Northeast, they actually, depending on the odd even on your license plates, said whether you could be on the road driving.
There were restrictions.
Right. Well, the Flock camera system that Jason has spoken about quite a bit and written in the newsletter and that sort of thing, they have sent out bulletins saying that
they already have the capability in place to monitor license plates for restrictions, for the odd even restrictions, that administratively they would be able to monitor the highways and the roadways, reading license plates in real time if people were to violate these fuel rationing and driving rationing rules. So that tells me that the rules are probably there already, and they're just waiting for the reason to drop them. So if you stop and were wondering, you know, in these places of how exactly would they even enforce this, you know, if your license plate numbers are 0572, how would they even know that there's not enough cops on the street to monitor that? They're looking at using the camera systems to lock that down.
Dang, dirty rats. Yeah,
I would look for there to be a lot less cameras if something like that comes down.
you're probably right there, Tim.
So well, we're back to this data desire again. I mean, they would be as God, you know, that's what they want to.
Absolutely. You know,
the other thing I fail to understand is I can understand why maybe some of these other countries have fuel rationing coming. I mean, Pakistan's pulling it, I know. I've seen some stuff on that. I've seen various situations like that. But what I don't understand is in America, we are the number one exporter of oil in the world. I mean, so why don't we just keep it at home? Why do we have that problem? And some of the administration came out the other day there and said, well, we can ease these restrictions a lot. They were talking about releasing, you know, the reserve, the petroleum reserve, which is okay. But the thing that I thought was interesting was the fact that he said they could ease the taxing requirements on oil here at home, which would really relax the amount of oil we could keep at home. And if you want to do some study, you know, just as far as like say the internet, but get in there and do some understanding on it's far cheaper to export oil than it is to keep it on a tax level than it is to keep it at home and use it here. I mean, you have state lines, you have federal lines. There's just all kinds of, I mean, what got me into looking at that was why is it that they're pumping oil over here, but they ship it over to three states away to refine it when we have a refinery that's literally 30 miles from that wellhead, you know, where it could just be hauled over there 30 minutes. It's because of the interstate taxation system on raw petroleum, and it's substantial. I mean, it really puts a bite on guys. And there's all kinds of things like that to be done, but they're not interested in your comfort or your relief or your ease of life as a citizen. It's all about, you know, control and money, and this is just another stick to beat people with in order to enhance the overlord complex that they have. So, I mean, that's what we're looking at. I think that when you see it that way, the foreign countries, I don't really know anything about them, but you know, it's one of those kind of situations. That having lived through some of the fuel crunches in the 70s, even you know, back there was, it was, you know, it's very nerve wracking. To, as Americans, we take our right to travel and the ability to do things. It's a big country over here. You know, I mean, for example, here you don't go anywhere here that's less than a 30-mile round trip for the most part. I mean, you want to go to town, you want to go to anything else, 30 miles is not really much. So it's definitely, and it probably goes back to the agendas and they want to, you know, get people off the land
and different things like that. I think it's back to an attack on food. So
I think it's a good explanation too, Tim, you know, of 5, 6, 7 years ago when we started hearing, you know, Barbie called and was telling us about Bill Gates buying up the farmland there where she's at. Well, he did it all across America as well, and we know about the Chinese buying up ranch land and farmland, and yeah, right, in Nebraska, it happened here in Texas as well. You know, once again, I'm just naturally inclined to say, you think they knew this was coming?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Or do you think they created it? Yeah, exactly.
Either way, Tim. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's like any other insider trading, right? I mean, that's really what it is you know that certain commodities are going to be shorted because of whatever disruption, and, you know, you hedge your bets and try to control that market. And I think that very well may be what we're seeing right now.
Yeah. We run into, I think that's a realistic viewpoint there. That's their attempt to, well, you know, never let a good opportunity to profit go to waste or a good crisis go to waste. And they certainly will. And they're, like the old saying goes, they're crisis management experts. And if there isn't one to manage, they'll create one. So, you know,
that's right.
It's like, we see that happening all the time.
Gates has been in his ilk, you know. I don't know if Gates is just a poster boy or if he's really calling shots, but, you know, he was on the forefront of all of the vaccines, right? And then we get the COVID nonsense, and now you look at what's going on, where he's the last few years has been one of the biggest advocate for these synthetic meats, with the lab grown meat, lab grown beef, lab grown chicken, and that sort of thing. And look at what beef is doing in the supermarkets. And as far as the prices going up and up and up, where the normal average person may not be able to enjoy a lifestyle that maybe they did 10 years ago. And I think a lot of that is self-fulfilling prophecy to these guys, that they create the environment to enrich themselves. And if it means all-out world war, well, they've done that before too. They've done that to profit as well. Yeah.
Amen. We got a caller on the line. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Will, Tim, Jason. Boy, that's just an encouraging and heartwarming message from Harvey in Canada today. That's just great. When you're talking about euthanasia and assisted suicide, did you include all the places in the United States? Because there are 14 jurisdictions in the United States where it's legal.
I did not. I didn't know that. I just started reading about it in the United States just recently and hadn't got that far. That's interesting.
Illinois, California, Colorado, Delaware, District of Columbia, Hawaii, Montana, Maine, New Jersey, New York, New Mexico,
wow.
Oregon, Vermont, Washington, you know, all that. And 2018, Gallup poll, 72% support laws allowing patients to seek assisted suicide. That's just demonic.
It is.
Have you been reading about the missing general? William McCaslin that's lost in the desert?
Not only him, Kevin, but what about all of the scientists associated with him?
Yeah, his assistant, but forever. A woman, was she killed or she still missing?
Is she still missing?
Yeah, I can't find out anywhere. And it was timed, and this is through interviews with, it was through Alex Jones broadcast. Anyway, that dark journalist talking about, he disappeared right after they were, Trump was announcing he was going to release information on UFOs. And it looks like it's is associated with that. And Vance is talking about going out to Area 51.
Kevin, did you see that J.D. Vance, I think it was a couple of days ago, he answered the question as to what he thinks UFOs are. Did you see his answer?
I think he said they're demons or something.
He said they're not. He said they're not aliens. They're not extraterrestrial. They're demons.
No, I agree.
They're interdimensional. Yeah, I do too. Yeah, he says they're interdimensional beings that are fallen angels, demons.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've heard that a lot over the way back a long time ago. I heard people directly telling me that when they were talking to me. What's your take on that? That they are demons or
Tim?
Yeah, I think they're demonic, and I actually believe that they're setting us up, or you know, they're setting up the scenario. I mean, to me, it's almost in your face as far as being able to see it. But you know, I think I'm of the opinion that currently we use a lot of fallen angel tech. I mean, in our world today. That comes from that. We're kind of back to the asymmetric warfare thing again. I'll tell you a story in a second that tells on me, but just because even, but the, they're setting us up for this whole thing. We've got a food crisis. We've got a fuel crisis. We've got a world at war, basically, total upset. We've got farmers begging for help from the government. We've got all these things going on. Their fallback position or their fallback plan is, hey, we can always do the alien release, and they're queuing it up in the news and in different things. And when they do that, that will be the ability of them to redirect and refocus attention away from godly resolving these issues or that to it's the new savior, you know, any way you want to cut it. And whether these the demons are already in power all across this land in different places, whether it's by possession or influence. But this is a more direct way for them to accomplish their goal. And, you know, I'm just reminded of our Bible telling us, well, if they say that the Christ, that's not the Christ, that's a type of Christ, is out here in the desert area of, you know, 51, anyone out here coming, you know, seeing. He says that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. So I think that that's what we're looking at there. And I also don't think it's any, what do you want to call it, shortage of foresight with the fact that they've been playing around with these black hole generators and quantum generators and everything else. And, you know, you read some of the stories out of there. And again, I use the percentage thing. It's even half of them are true. 30% of them are true. You wouldn't want anything to do with that. But they've got out there in front of the, in front of some of them, they've got Shiva out there as their mascot. I mean, Shiva is a destroyer of worlds. It's a, you know, war and destruction and everything else. So, and I was talking with, actually I was talking with Harvey the other day, and I said something about these letters coming in that he was talking about on Wednesday night. We've got them coming in all over the place. And I said, well, yeah, but if they were sending them to these churches that are conservative Christian churches, how would they know? And bless his heart, he said, well, Satan knows who preaches God's word, you know? And I was like, oh, yeah, back to asymmetric warfare again. You got to think outside the box.
Yep.
You know, you're leaning to your human understanding, going, well, intelligence would dictate that is not a, you know. But these are all gateways to satanic control over our country and over, you know, people have to acquiesce to that happen. They have to. Okay, it. I mean, you have to give them your permission, so to speak, to do those sort of things. You know, it's just like when we pray for God to heal someone and take control over a matter, we have given him our proxy to do that. If you don't do that, he may not intervene, you know. I mean, so anyway, that's my opinion.
I like that. Wow, that is.
I'm 100% agreement with Tim.
I do too. That is really good, Tim. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Did you know there's a No King rallies today around the country?
Yeah, we got them all over around us. They got having one in Fort Collins, Loveland, Boulder, all the way. I mean, just any every town of any size is having one.
Yeah, they're allowing it for 1 hour in our county seat here, and it's absolute fools, aren't they? It's absolute fools.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
1 hour too much, right?
Yeah. You're really hitting on all cylinders, Tim. I sure love you. God bless you. And that's a real good newsletter this week that came in.
Well,
the
good.
The Dragon Slayer. Yeah. And I read through it. Boy, you do a good job, Jason. And I was reading through it, and it came through the part about the F test.
Yeah.
But F test is not included in that.
No, I did. I ran out of. Yeah, I know. I ran out of space.
Space is limited.
Yeah.
That's just a lighthearted comment, really. That's what it's about. God bless you, gentlemen.
Well, thanks for calling. God bless you, too.
Thank you, Kevin.
Well, and the phone number to call in, I guess I haven't given that out today, is 970-224-4203.
Yeah.
And, well, let's see. We've got about 20 minutes left. Let's see here. Where should we go next? Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask Tim, and I don't want to change from what you're going to say, Jason, but, you know, Kevin mentioned it. Tim, will you just speak to what Harvey was talking about on prayer service on Wednesday night with these letters? Because I think it's making the news now. It's getting pushed around quite a bit.
It's starting to come out. He received a letter at his church there, and it was... You know, there's no return address on it. It says basically this card that says Mini Tico on it, which is a reference to the writing on the wall in Daniel. I think it's King Nebuchadnezzar. And, you know, he reported it to the local officials there, and they kind of got an eye roll, like whatever. And rightfully so, he was considering that a threat, you know, like basically what it is it's about the fact that he'd been weighed and the scales and found wanting and your kingdom's divided and you know, your life's going to be required of you. Well, that was one of those kind of things, but now suddenly there are multiple churches in our area, at least. We have Lincoln County, Furnace County, Dundee County, Dawson County, Hayes County, Hitchcock, Frontier, Red Willow, and Chase County have all received similar letters. And these are all Christian. They're not really mainstream churches. They're mostly, what would you want to call them, conservative Christian churches who, as far as I know, they really don't subscribe to the plural gender. They take a little harder line on a lot of those sort of things.
They're Bible-believing, Bible-teaching churches.
Yes. At least this is my overview. I might stand corrected there because I don't know. But, you know, so there's a whole bunch of reports coming in on this, and there's a lot of concern within the church communities around here about this. So when we look at it that way, that's what they're wondering about is, you know, is this going to be an attack on churches? Who's it from? But it's starting to be taken more seriously, but at this particular time, it's not, you know,
they are increasing some patrols around the churches and that kind of stuff. So it's a legit type situation, I think. So it's something to be aware of. You know, there's things like that happen here. Of course, we can't even get the national news when we have a million acre fire. So might be a good thing. I don't know. But anyways, the point is it coming soon to an area near you? I don't know. It's kind of a heads up, you know, keep your, be alert. I have no idea. There isn't any other information available on the face of it at this time, but that's what it's about.
Strange.
Yeah.
Next time you talk to Harvey, Tim, and I'll get with you offline, I'm just curious to know where the postmark on the letter. I got it. It had no return address, but I just wondered if it was mailed locally or if it came from out of state or what have you.
It was mailed locally. They came out of North Platte, as I understand it. So
okay.
Yeah, they were mailed around or on March 20th. So that was, what, 18th or 7th. They kind of hit all over. They were in a postcard-sized envelope with basically a cardboard cut, and that was handwritten. The many people quote. So, good things usually don't stray from the light. So, yeah. Anyways, yeah, I just got a text from Irene. He said, North Platte, yes. but anyway, yeah. So, yeah. I got it right. So.
What was the deal with, I have heard, I had two people briefly mention the scientist that missing. What's the story with that? Was there any more than just what we talked about?
There's been several instances. I think the number, and Tim, you may know, but I think there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 or 10 scientists, or in one instance, a commanding general of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, retired. In his instance, he was an avid hiker and outdoors kind of guy, and his wife was at work and came home and found him gone, and his car was gone, and a .38 revolver was gone, but his wallet and his cell phone and, you know, everything that he would normally have taken with him, it was at the house. So he left in his vehicle with a revolver, and there's not a hide nor hair of him. The strange thing about that is, you know, some of these doorbell cameras and stuff from the neighborhood that he lived in, there's no video evidence of him leaving the neighborhood. Yeah, coming or going. He vanished. His assistant, at one-time assistant, also came up missing, and a few months earlier than him. And I think it's the same thing. I think her cell phone was recovered, but it was completely wiped. No data, all the geolocating data was wiped off of it. And you add on top of this, over the last year and a half, Jason, I think there's been a very high level scientists, research scientists, when it comes to missiles and jet propulsion and aerospace kind of stuff that were all associated with White Sands Missile Range or Los Alamos or Wright-Patterson Air Force Base that have just came up missing or dead. Where there's a couple instances of mysterious deaths, and when I mean mysterious deaths, I mean like execution style deaths for no apparent reason. You know, these aren't people that owed money to the mob or had outstanding gambling debts. They weren't drug addicts. It was, you know, they were high level scientists that just found themselves unalive with no real explanation.
Yeah. One of them was a director of chemical biology at Novartis. One of them was a MIT Plasma Science and Fusion Center physicist. We have an astrophysicist, and they were all, as you can well imagine, tied into, most of them had government contracts or government, differences, did research for the government, NASA aerospace engineer. Just on one of them, Monica Riza, she was she's been missing since June 22nd of 2025, and she was the big metallurgical technology engineer.
Yep.
So, yep. Just like they found one of them in Jason Thomas was the director of chemical biology. He was discovered floating in a Massachusetts lake in March. So, one of the articles I read said the bizarre situation comes as the U.S. government last week registered two new website domains. Now, that's the government. One is called alien.gov, and the other one is aliens.gov. So,
Probably not going to be used by ICE.
Probably not. And we've had a lot of fireballs. A lot of interesting fireball sites over, and some of them are, I was actually talking to you, Jason, I think, about that a couple of weeks ago. They had some come down in different places over east there, and they were changing directions as they came down. So there was a lot of, and they had really good video of them. But like I say, I think they're queuing up this alien savior situation. Could be an alien invasion situation too, but at any rate, it's a galvanizing effort in order to, I think it's a dupe job myself. That's my opinion. But,
I think it's a part of the deception for sure. I think it's another way to tear people away from the truth. I think there are a lot of people worldwide that are willing to believe in something like that, and I think that will be part of that deception. So, yeah.
Yeah. When you think about it, there's a lot of history, I guess let's call it, but a historical observation of what these aliens supposedly look like. But I want to ask somebody, when you read your Bible, and when godly angelic hosts and godly situations are described, you have to realize that it was so overwhelming that in a lot of cases they had to be given something for the fear so they can stand up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So why are we surprised that, the Bible says that even Satan can appear as an angel of light? So are you surprised that any of these things look like this or any of this goes on? Satan is a great imitator. So, back to the heads up thing again.
Yeah, no doubt. Interesting. Very interesting stuff. Moving on, we only got, about 6 minutes left. I couldn't get this article open, but it was the one about the VPNs making it basically doing away with your constitutional rights and giving NSA spying privileges. What's this all about?
I haven't seen that article, but I have heard something about it. Basically, they're trying to make virtual private networks illegal in the United States, or at the very least, they're trying to make the creators of them give the government a back door so that they could see what's going on, and that their motivation behind that is, well, there's all these illegal activities that take place. It's the same thing as a lot of your search and seizure things. Well, if you don't have anything to hide, why do you mind if you search? And VPNs are private gateways on the internet that allow you to privately interconnect with
it's a tunnel type system that doesn't allow outside spying or influence, even in most cases, even from your service providers. So that's,
yep,
that's about all I got.
So. And the search engines themselves. I mean, so if you're using a VPN and you do choose to use Google or something like that, you know, a lot of the data that's captured by Google aren't captured in these host nations, as I understand it. That's so that is a essentially, Jason, what it comes down to, in my opinion, we're really talking about the United States here as far as what they're wanting to do. VPNs are a way of in relative privacy to use the internet. And in my opinion, the United States government just can't stand that because of the surveillance state that we live in. So they're putting pressure on the VPN hosts, the companies, to at least allow, I think Tim used the word, some backdoor access into to what's going on there as far as the users are concerned. I'm going to give just a free advice. If you don't like it, I'll give you your money back. I choose to use a VPN company, the actual company itself, out of Sweden. I would also recommend the Netherlands. And the reason is because those are two locations as far as nations that have absolutely chosen to not participate in, like, Interpol, the United States government, Israel. They are autonomous. They choose not to cooperate with any type of free criminal investigations. And what I mean by that is a lot of these countries, because of different pacts and agreements they have for information sharing, they do it without warrant. They do it without criminal charges. It's just an intelligence gathering apparatus. And both the Netherlands and Sweden don't participate in that. They simply keep your information private. So I use a search engine out of the Netherlands. I use an email service out of the Netherlands, and I use a VPN service out of the Netherlands. And so if you're searching for such things, do your research on that.
Well, I think that's a good prepper tip of the week. They're trying to take the privacy out of a private network, from what it looks like.
Yep. Yes,
and our God-given right that is enshrined in the Constitution, that you have a right to privacy. And do evil people use those things for evil things? Probably, but if they 100%. Don't, they just find another thing. You know, they use a gamer's platform where they communicate, or they use. There's, you can't cover all of that. What you do is,
we'll go back.
It's just like gun control. You damage the good people to, you know. It's like, no, that doesn't work. So they'll just figure out a different way.
I was going to point out the deal at Harvey's Church. Evil people use index cards and ink pens in the postal service, too.
Yeah.
And, evil people are going to do evil. I think that's what they do. That's why we call them evil people. This is just, in my opinion, keeping evil people out of good people's business. And that's really why they hate it.
Yes.
That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
And you know, just real quick, I know we're running out of time, but you got to remember the Fourth Amendment, right? It said that our God-given rights to be secure in our writings and our personal effects. And at the time, you know, obviously it was talking about, like, paper and pen. Well, that's what the internet is now. That's how we correspond with one another. And my email that I send to Jason or to whoever I decide to send it to, that's private, just like a letter was supposed to be private. That's what the founders saw as far as what God intended for us, and they enshrined it in the Constitution so that government would not infringe upon that. And all we've seen is infringement upon infringement. And I think, Jason, that's why you're seeing this with the VPNs, is it just, they hate the fact that there are ways around their spying. And that makes me want to use the VPNs even more.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
point.
Good point. Very good point. Well, man, we are out of time.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. God bless. Thanks, Remnant.
None are so hopelessly enslaved as those who falsely believe they are free. The truth has been kept from the depths of their minds.